Daf is Shabbos Daf Mem Tes. We are holding on the top of Daf Mem Tes Amir Aleph. We are at the two dots, Mem Tes Amir Aleph. We're going to discuss four topics in today's Daf. First, we're going to discuss whether artificial moisture can cause greater problems of Hatmana, or it can cause bigger problems of Hatmana, or only natural moisture creates Hatmana problems, because we discussed all these various items in the Mishnah, Bizman Shein Lachin, or Lachin V'Yevashin. So what kind of Lachin are we talking about when we talk about Lach? Does it mean artificial moisture or natural moisture? The Gemara then parenthetically records, right after the Mishnah, a miraculous story relating to somebody named Elisha Bel Knafayim being Mosen Nefesh for Tefillin, and then after the second Mishnah, we're on the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss potential differences between the muktzah status of animal hides that belong to regular people and animal hides that belong to craftsmen. And then finally, the Gemara goes on to debate the significance of the number 39 in the Lamed Tes Melachos of Shabbos. Why the number 39 is such a significant number? So those are the exciting topics of today's daf. So let's see. Ibayluhu. Mem Tes Amid Aleph, four lines from the top, is Man Shehein Lachin. So Ibayluhu, Lachin Machmas Atzman, Aldim Lachin Machmas Dover Acher. When we say that they are moist, does that mean they are moist naturally? Machmas Atzman, says Rashi, Mecham Mostfei, Me Lachin Machmas Mashkin Shnofalein Mishiyavshu, which would warm something more. It would be a better hatmana, a stronger hatmana. It would warm something more than something that was lach because of an outside source. So we say lach and machmas atzman, or lach and machmas tavracher. So tashma lo b'teven v'lo b'zogim v'lo b'mochin v'lo b'asavim b'zman she'en lachin. So we mentioned a variety of items when they are moist is a problem of hatmana. So yeram bishlam lachem machmas tavracher shapir. So if all of these, the types of moisture being described, are things that are moist as a result of some outside source of moisture, so then it works, because anything can become moist from an outside source. But if we're talking about things that are lachin machmas atzman, how is mochin, how is the wool of an animal ever lachin machmas atzman? There is no natural moisture. It could rain, it could get wet, it could, but it never becomes lachin machmas atzman. It's no natural moisture. So answers Gemara, yes, there is certain parts of the wool. Mimarta debeni itmi. Rashi says, mitzemer nimrat mi ben yarkos seh shel behema. If you take the wool that's cut off of the area between the thighs of the animal, shumale zeya, it's a very sweaty part of the animal, vulach me'atzmo, so that's called lachin machmas atzmo. It's a natural moisture for that wool, for that part of the wool of the animal. Lachi kari le'marta delav bargizahu, we call it marta because you can't really shear it. It's more of a cutting or a disentangling or pulling, but it's not a regular shearing that you would do in that part of the animal. But anyway, so the point is though that there is a part of the animal that has wool that's moist in its own right. V'hadetani raboshia, tomin back in the Gemara, v'hadetani raboshia, tomin b'ksus yivesha, u'b'perus yiveshin, avalo b'ksus lacha, v'blo b'perus lachin. That which raboshia says, that you could do atmana with dry ksus and with dry fruits, but not with moist ksus and not with moist fruits. So ksus lacha machmasach tzma hechim shkachsa. Where do you ever have a ksus clothing that's moist in its own right? And so the Gemara, same thing. If you take the wool from that moist area, from that very sweaty area of the animal, the Tosus points out that Rabbi Oshia, who says Lobik Soslacha, is going to be in disagreement with the next Mishnah. Tosus writes near Rabbi Oshia Palagam Asnisin. So which Mishnah? The very next line in the Mishnah says the Mishnah. Tomnin b'ksus, you're allowed to do atmanu b'ksus, b'peros, b'kanfei yona, u'b'nesor shel charashim, u'b'nor shel pishtandaka. That you're allowed to do hatmanu with all of these items. Notice no distinction is made between ksus lach and ksus yevashin. Rav Oshia said you're allowed to be tomein b'ksus yevesha, but not b'lacha. So you see clearly that this Mishnah is against Rav Oshia. That's what Tosfos Ha'ara is. But anyway, what's our Mishnah saying now? That you're allowed to do atmanu with ksus, with clothing, with peros, fruits, kanfe yona, the feathers of a yona, b'nesores shel charashim, sawdust, u'b'na'ores shel pishtan daka, and the byproduct of flax production. Rabbi Yehuda Oser Bedako Matir Begasa. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Oser if you have the thinner byproduct, but the thicker, larger byproduct of flax production, that's going to be okay. So says Gemara, Amra Biyanai, Tfilin Tzrichin Guf Naki Ke'elisha Bal Kanafayim. The Gemara points out that if a person wants to wear tefillin, you need to maintain a guf naki, the same way Elisha Bal Knafayim maintained a guf naki. So before we get into what this is about and what a guf naki means and who this Elisha Bal Knafayim is, the most fundamental question is, what in the world is this doing over here? Why would we start talking about tefillin requiring guf naki in the middle of a discussion of hatmana? So the Maharal writes in the Chidushe Goraye that one should not think that when the Mishnah says tomnin bekanfe yona, that it's dafka kanfe yona, that when we talk about feathers, that it's only yona feathers that you're allowed to be tomnin in, but you might have thought that other kinds of feathers are not okay. No, the Gemara wants to show us that really puhadin, any type of bird feathers are okay. Why do we mention Yona? Because Kanfe Yona is going to play a critical role in this story. So we always, and Klal Yisrael is Nimshalu Yona, we always compare Klal Yisrael to Yona, so when we need to come up with an example of bird wings and bird feathers, we always come up with the example of a Yona, because a Yona is reminiscent of Klal Yisrael. But really, it's just an example, any bird would be the same. That's how the Gor Aryeh suggests. So anyway, if a person wants to wear tefillin, he needs a guf naki, like Elisha Bal Knafayim. So Maihi, what does that mean exactly, a guf naki? A guf naki in what sense? He should shower all the time. What does it mean? So Abaye Amar Shalo Yafiach Ben. Abaye says he has to be very careful that he doesn't pass gas in his tefillin. Rava Amar Shalo Yishan Mehen. That it means that he should be very careful that he shouldn't fall asleep in his tefillin. If you look at Tosos, Ke Elisha Bal Knafayim, Lahachi Nokat Elisha, the Mistama Kivin Shanasalo Neis Betfillin, Hayezoyer Behen, Vailo Guf Naki. Now, the story we're going to see about Elisha has nothing to do with the Gufnaki. All it shows is that he was a person who is Moser Nefesh for Tefillin. That's all we know about him. So why are we talking about a Gufnaki like Elisha? We don't know anything about a Gufnaki. So Tos just points out, if the guy was so careful about Tefillin that he was willing to be Moser Nefesh on it, probably he was very makbid about all the details of Tefillin. So probably he was very careful to have a Gufnaki. You might say, oh, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't wear tefillin, because it says in the Gemara that if you want to wear tefillin, you need to be able to keep a guf naki like Elisha Bal Knafayim. I don't know, maybe I can't keep a guf naki like that. Tosfos says, yes, you can. We are able to be zahir in guf naki, and we should not be an excuse not to wear tefillin. Ve'ein teima al masha mitzvah zos refuya bi'adenu, shegam yimei chacham maisu refuya. And don't wonder, why is it that people aren't so careful about this mitzvah? Because this was something that was weak in the times of the Chachamim as well, in times of Chazal. Kintani perek Reb Lazar Demila. Reb Shimra Lazar Omer kol mitzvah shalom masrats min Yisrael olah b'shas gzer samalchus kon tefillin adayin hi refuya biyadam. The Gemara Reb Lazar Demila gives this as an example of a mitzvah that we weren't most nefesh enough on, and that's why we're still weak in this mitzvah. V'adam in perek amdur ashon poshi yisrael beguf on kar kafta dol manach tefillin Omer abin etam demari boson shosun machmas mered u'mevazin ha-mitzvos v'sochkin b'ritzua shabiyadam u'b'rosham. What do we, when the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that poshe yisrael begufan is referring to people who don't wear tefillin, Rabbi Natam says that's talking about those people who, as a result of rebellion, that they want to, that they're mevazah the mitzvos, they just mess around with the ritzuos in their hands and the ritzuos on the rosh, but they're not interested in the mitzvah. That's the poshe yisrael begufan. Kedam Rabbi Yuma p'sham elu amradin. V'adam medrash tefillin me'malo echziku b'han m'pnei ha-ramayim. So eini l'rid d'mishum raman nimnu milasos mitzvah. He says, what about the fact that the Gemara says, why aren't people careful about tefillin because of the ramayim? So he says, doesn't mean that because of the ramayim people stop doing this mitzvah. Ela hachi perusha. What it means is, m'pnei malo echziku ne'amanos ba'adam ha-maniach tefillin. It means, why can't you necessarily automatically trust somebody who wears tefillin? I mean, you think, the guy wears tefillin, of course, he's got to be a trustworthy person. So, become Ramatin. So, it tells us, because there are some people that are Ramatin, that they would dafka wear tefillin to trick other people, so that you'll let your guard down and you'll trust them. Kedam rasa ma'isa b'tal menechot shivkid ma'osa veitzalechad sheimeniach tefillin kishatava bo omer la'adam. The guy would borrow money and wearing tefillin, so everyone would always trust him. They wouldn't make him write a shtar or anything. And then when you go and ask him, hey, can I have my money back? La'adam lo yidvar me'olam. I don't know what you're talking about. I never borrowed any money from you. So omer le'el satamid lo lechayif kadati el tefillin shal roshcha. And the Talmud said, I didn't lend my tefillin to you. I didn't lend my money to you. I lent my money to the tefillin on your head, meaning the tefillin on your head caused me to trust you. So that these are the Raman, the people who wear tefillin to give off a pious image so that they'll be able to take unfair advantage of people. That's what it means that the Raman, that people who aren't, that we can't be machzik someone, unfortunately, who wears tefillin as being someone who's necessarily a very honest person. So Tosfos over here, we just saw, writes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that when the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Poshe Yisrael B'gufon is Karkafta D'lo Manach Tefillin, we're talking about people who are morayed and mevazeh and are bad people, and that's why they're not wearing tefillin. If you actually look in Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Zayin, he has a slightly different presentation of Rabbeinu Tam Shita. He says, if a person is Yarei Lahaniach, Mishum Dabi Inon Guf Naki Ke'elisha Bel Kanafayim, V'udoei Kol Shosh, that a person is afraid to put on tefillin because he's afraid he's not going to have this guf naki that's necessary for tefillin. Havadai einol of din poshe yisrael begufan. That's not a poshe yisrael begufo. Sounds from that Tosos that if you don't put on tefillin, what if you don't put on tefillin because you're lazy? You just don't want to put on tefillin. You'd rather sleep through Shabbos. You don't want to put on tefillin. Is that a karkafta? Is that a poshe yisrael begufan? So from our Tosos, from the Tosos in Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like that if the reason you don't put on tefillin is because you're lazy, so that is b'chal poshe yisrael begufan. Even though you're not trying to rebel, you're just being lazy. That's still called Poshe Yisrael Begufan. But from our Tosos, it sounds like, no. When's a Poshe Yisrael Begufan? Only if you're not putting on tefillin. Mishum mered, ubizui mitzvah. But if you're just stam, lazy, stam, don't want to put on tefillin, then it would not be called Poshe Yisrael Begufan. So that seems to be that the Magen Giborim raises this kasha, that it seems to be a stira between the two different presentations of Rabbeinu Tam. So you got to work on that a little bit. He tries to work out some sort of detailed answer. Okay, so then we had these two deos. What does it mean to keep a gufnaki? Either it means a gufnaki not to be mafiach ben, or a gufnaki shelo yishan ben. If you look at Tosfos, some rabbi shelo yafiach ben sheyuchal lishmaratzum mafiach ad sheyasir tefillin. Kedepirush b'kuntros, that a person has to be careful not to pass gas until he removes his tefillin. Avlo chayish shemi yishan da afligav de pa'amim lo yichal yizar mishina v'rava matzrich gam sheyuchal amenasu b'shosh shetachzenu hashena shelo yishan pidom. So Abayi was a little more makel, that you didn't have to be so careful about dozing, but Rava was more makbid that you have to be even careful that you shouldn't fall asleep. Now Abayi agrees you're not allowed to sleep in your tefillin. I could say that's a beferish gemara mesech sukkah, that you're not allowed to sleep in your tefillin. Shinas keva, shinas rai. Question is if you're tired and you might doze. So is that enough reason not to wear tefillin? So that's the whole issue. Vaitu in the Gemara now. So the statement is that you should not put on tefillin unless you're able to keep a gufnaki like Elisha Bal Kanafayim. So Vamai Kari Le Bal Kanafayim, the Gemara says, why do we call him this person Elisha? How did he get the name Bal Kanafayim? So it says the Gemara, Shepam Machas Gozer Malchus Romi Arisha Gezer Al Yisrael Shekala Meniach Tefillin Yinakaras Mocho. One time the Roman government made a gezer against Klal Yisrael that anyone who puts on tefillin, they'll pierce his head, they'll kill him. Vahaya Elisha Manichim V'yotzei L'shuk, and Elisha would put on his tefillin and he would go out into the market, into the town square, wearing tefillin. Ra'o Kastarech, a certain government official saw him, Ratz Mipanav, so Elisha started running away from this government official. V'ratz Acharav, and the guy started chasing him. The Kivan Shegiatzlo, once he caught up with him, Natal Mirosha Vachsam V'yado, he took his tefillin off his head and he held them in his hand. Amarlo, Maze B'yadcha, so the officer said, what's that in your hand? Amarlo Kanfeyona, he says, it's the wings of a dove that I have in my hand. Pashat is Yada, Venimsu Kanfe Yonah. He says, yeah, open up your hand. He opens up his hand, and then sure enough, it's the wings of a dove. Lefichu Karna, so Elisha Bal Kanafayim. And that's why we call him Elisha Bal Kanafayim, because of that miracle that happened to him to save him. He probably need to buy a new pair of tefillin afterwards, but that miracle that saved him from that government official. Umayshna Kanfe Yonah Mishar Ophos. Why, of all things, did he choose to say Kanfe Yonah, that it's the wings of a dove? He could have said anything. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to do a miracle for him, so why is it Dafka Kanfe Yonah? Mishum Da'amtil Knesset Yisrael Yonah, because Knesset Yisrael is compared to a Yonah. Shnemer Kanfe Yonah Nichfa B'Kesef. Ma Yonah Knafeh Maginos Aleah, Af Yisrael Mitzvos Maginos Aleah. That just like a Yonah, the wings of a Yonah protect the Yonah, so too Klal Yisrael, the Mitzvos Maginos Aleah. The Mitzvos that we do protect Klal Yisrael. Tosos adds a point, Knafeh Maginos Aleah, Omer Rida Aminu B'Medrash. He adds another Ha'ara about the Yonah, that the Medrash says, Kola Ofos K'shein Yigein Ninochin Al Gabe Sela. Other birds, when they're tired, they just stop and they rest on top of a rock. They stop flying, so they rest. But the Yonah is special. It's special that the Yonah, even when it gets tired, it rests one wing, but it keeps flapping the other wing. And that's Knesset Yisrael. That Knesset Yisrael, even when we're exhausted, even when we're unable to do certain mitzvos, we're always careful about doing other mitzvos. We're never empty for mitzvos, even for a single moment. No matter what we're doing, we always have some way of continuing our avodas Hashem. I saw one of the acronyms in the back of the Gemara that I never heard of, Richal Maizelish. I'm not sure who it is. So he says, Nir Beinai Lulei Dimistafina, I would say like this, Hayis Yomer Bekavanas HaTosos Neged Rabbi Elisha, that Tosos is talking about Elisha Bal Knafayim. That this, why is Tosos bring up this Medrash now about the when you rest one wing, the other wing is still going? What does it have to do with the story of Elisha Bal Knafayim? It's Tam, something nice about a Yonah. He says, no, it fits beautifully with the story. The Gamkin also besignon Zeh, Elisha Bal Knafayim demonstrated this. How so? Because the lashon of the Gemara is mashma that when they were gozer shalo yaniach tefillin, doesn't say only shalo yaniach tefillin shel rosh. It says shalo yaniach tefillin. They made it clear you shouldn't put tefillin shel rosh or shel yad. And what happened when the guy caught up with him? He removed tefillin shel rosh. Even when he couldn't do tefillin shel rosh, he still had tefillin shel yad going. Still had the other wing flapping. He was still doing the other mitzvah of tefillin shel yad. So he says it fits in beautifully with the story of Elisha Bal Knafayim, that even when one mitzvah can't be done, the other mitzvah is going to be done. Other achronim say no. The gezerah was not against tefillin shel yad. The reason he took off only tefillin shel rosh. So Asemis points out that the gezerah was only against tefillin shel rosh, and that really seems to be explicit in the Gemara in Kuf Lamed. The Gemara is going to say that they made a gzeirah not to wear tefillin, and says more explicitly tefillin shel rosh. Why would they dafka make a gzeirah against tefillin shel rosh? Because the tefillin shel rosh is menaker enei umos ha'olam. The pasuk says v'ro kalame yaretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha, and the Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Hei says elu tefillin shel barosh, that everyone's going to see the tefillin shel rosh is the sign that the nations of the world see that Shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha, and they're going to be afraid of us because of our tefillin shel rosh. That's the story they say of the Gra, that someone came in to arrest the Gra, one of the government officials or something came in and he saw the Gra wearing tefillin and he like was scared and he walked out. And the Talmidim said, what happened? He said, well, it's Beferish in the Gemara, that Beferish in the Pasuk, V'yaru Mimecha, that they're going to be afraid when they see the tefillin shel rosh. So they asked the Gra, but we all wear tefillin, and no one's afraid of us, never helped anybody, any of us. He says, no, it doesn't say tefillin sha'al rosh, it says tefillin shebir rosh, that it's not enough that the tefillin happened to be resting on your head. The tefillin has to be in your head, it has to be part of who you are, it has to be an expression of who you really are. But anyway, that's the discussion over here, what the gezerah was really made against. Was it just tefillin shel rosh, or is tefillin shel yad as well? And Tosfos over here also has a very important discussion. Natla mirosh. So what happened? His life was threatened. The guy had caught up with him, so his first reaction is take his tefillin off. Fractosos, I the Afikav Dam Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, "B'shas gzeres hamalchus afilu al mitzvah kali yaharig val yavar." That when there's a gzeres hamalchus not to do a mitzvah, then any mitzvah becomes yaharig val yavar. It all becomes a statement of your Jewishness to do any mitzvah. If they make a gzera, afilu al mitzvah kali yaharig val afilu l'shnei arkes of the mesana aser. The Gemara says even if they declare that a Jew has to wear the same shoelaces as a guy, the same shoe straps as a guy, so even for that it becomes yaharig val yavar, because that's what they identify as the symbol of your Jewishness. So if they made a gzera that you have to keep your tefillin off, so shouldn't tefillin become your harik val yavar? That's Tosas Kasha. Says Tosas Haynu Mishum De Bishinui Arksa Misnai Kovik Chavim V'Doma Shemotzi Atzma Miklal Yisrael Aval Hacha Ein Oso Klum El She'in Lo Tefillin Barosho Shoa Achas V'Harbi Yisrael She'in Lem Tefillin Kamoso. He says no, there's a big difference. When the Gemara gives the example of the changing your shoe strap, it's they're trying to take away your Jewish identity. When they make a gzera where they say that you shouldn't dress in a way that a Jew dresses, and instead you have to dress in a way that the guy dresses, so they're trying to ruin the Jewish identity. That becomes Yarek Valiavar. But to not wear tefillin for a few minutes is not Yarek Valiavar. There are plenty of reasons why some people aren't wearing tefillin. One guy has a stomachache, one guy is taking a shower. There are lots of reasons that one guy's going to sleep. Lots of reasons that people may not be wearing tefillin. So that doesn't take away your Jewish identity when you remove tefillin for a short amount of time. That's why it did not become Yaharik Valiavar. Now the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, other Rishonim say that no, the reason why it's not Yaharik Valiavar is it's only in Mitzvot Losa say that you have to be Moser Nefesh for Kiyum, for Klal Yisrael, not for to do the Mitzvah, but not in Mitzvot Saseh. Why? So they all explain, because what's going to happen? The guy's going to say, if you do this Mitzvah Saseh, I'm going to kill you. And you say, I'm going to do the Mitzvah Saseh anyway. Next thing you know, you're dead, and you didn't do the Mitzvah anyway. So it doesn't accomplish anything to make a Yarek Valiavar. You can get killed, and guess what? You're still not going to be able to do the Mitzvah. When it comes to a Los Saseh, so he's going to say, okay, bow down to Avodah Zarah, I'm going to kill you. Say, I will not bow down, you can kill me. So he kills you, and at the end of the day, you still didn't bow down to the Avodah Zarah, so you actually didn't do the Avera. So that's where it makes sense to say Yarek Valiavar. But for a Mitzvah Saseh, it's just not logical to say Yarek Valiavar. That's how the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran all say, because they could be mevatli from an Al Karcho. But they turn the question around. These Rishonim say, so what was he wearing the tefillin for in the first place? If it's not Yarek Valiavar, how could he risk his life by putting on the tefillin in the first place? I mean, Tosas is asking, how could he take it off? It's Yarek Valiavar. How could he put it on? It's suicide. How's he allowed to put on the tefillin in the first place? So they all these Rishonim answer that even though something is not Yarek Valiavar, it is mutter to be moser nafsho, like the Medrash says, Vayikra Rabba, Malach Yotze Lisakal al Shemalti Esbini, al Shenatalti Alulav, Vafil al Tfilishi Mitzvah Drabanan, Moser Daniel Nafsho Aleha. Even for Tfilah, which is Mitzvah Drabanan, still Daniel was willing to be moser nafesh. The Radvaz writes in the Chuvin, Chelev Dalitim in Elef Kuf Samach Gimel, that Daniel did the Fnim Yishur Sadin. He saw that the door was Parutz, and he wanted to make a Geder, that everyone should know how important Tfilah was, and the Radvaz says, in the same by Elisha Balkrafayim, that he was worried that people would forget Torah's tefillin, because they made this gezerah and no one should wear tefillin, so everyone stopped wearing tefillin. So he wanted people to remember that there's such a thing called tefillin, they should remember what they look like, they should remember what they are, so he took it on himself to risk his life to wear tefillin, to teach them that they're not pater outside of a shas ones. So as soon as it became a shas ones for him, he removed it from his head, but he wanted to make to demonstrate that. There is a kasha, the kasha of Mishnah asks, in Yisodei HaTorah, Perakei, Halacha Aleph, that we do find Tanaim and Amoraim that were Moser Nefesh in order to be Mekayim and Mitzvah Sasei. So what was so great about Elisha Bal Kanafayim? We make a big deal about Elisha Bal Kanafayim. He took off the tefillin in the end of the day. So he says, no, Elisha Bal Kanafayim was ready Mekayim the Mitzvah of tefillin that day. So once he's Mekayim the Mitzvah, so now it's just a Midas Chasidus to wear it more. That he didn't have to be Moser Nefesh for. That maybe he should not have been Moser Nefesh for had it not been for the fact that he was trying to demonstrate the importance of tefillin. That's what the Ritva writes. That what is the mitzvah of tefillin? How often do you have to wear, how long do you have to wear tefillin in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin properly? So the Ritva writes, when you're Mekabel of Ol Malcha Shemayim, you have to wear tefillin. The rest of the day is a midas chasidus, and therefore you shouldn't be moser nefesh for shar hayom. However, that is not widely accepted or clear in all rishonim that the mitzvah of tefillin really is only to wear it while you're being mekabel machshavah. The prima gadim in Eshel Avram, Simin Lamed Zayin, is in the mesubik about that. Min haTorah, the chiyuv to wear tefillin, is it rega echad? Is it a moment each day? And the rabbanon said kol hayom. And nowadays that we don't have a gufnaki, or it's difficult to keep a gufnaki, all day, so we only wear it during davening? Or is it really minat Torah? It should be really kol hayom. So the Bir Halacha says in the name of many achronim that really kol hayom is the mitzvah minat Torah. They say in the name of the Gra that all day a person really should wear tefillin, and even if sometimes he's not able to guard himself from sicha b'teila, that's not a valid enough reason not to wear tefillin all day, because the positive outweighs the negative. Meaning, so once in a while he'll say sicha b'teila, well, a couple of times a day, but still every second that he's wearing tefillin, it's going to be a mitzvah. So that was the minhag gra, that the gra wore tefillin all day long. There are certain tzaddikim in each generation that will wear tefillin all day long. Rav Scheinberg Zichron Levracha wore tefillin all day long. Rav Nevin Sal, you see Rav Nevin Sal walking around the old city of Yerushalayim, he wears tefillin all day long. Someone told me though that you have to know who you are and what level that you're on. Rav Silver told me that there was a Bal Tshuva, a boy learning in a Bal Tshuva yeshiva, and he wanted to take on this minhag of wearing tefillin all day long. So he went to they brought him to Rav Scheinberg. The Rebbeim in the yeshiva didn't think it was such a smart idea, so he brought him to Rav Scheinberg, and the boy said, "I want to wear tefillin all day long." So Rabbi Scheinberg grabbed him and said, "Why can't you just be a normal kid?" So he said, "You know, it's not that a normal kid doesn't wear tefillin all day long. Just be normal like everybody else." Rabbi Scheinberg, didn't look like a normal kid because he wasn't a normal kid. He was Rabbi Scheinberg. Person has to know who they are and what kinds of chumras that they're ready for. Okay. Says the Gemara further now, the Nesaros Shel Charashim. So that's the story of Elisha Bal Kanafayim. So we move on now. The Mishnah had said the Nesaros Shel Charashim, that sawdust, that you're allowed to be tomein using sawdust and other items that we said the flax byproduct. So Yibayluhu, Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says that in the Mishnah that bedaka it's aser but begasa it's mutter, is he talking about sawdust or is he talking about the flax byproduct? Product. Rabbi Yehuda anasor shel charashim kai, oh anasor shel pishtan kai. So Tashma says, "Well, bring a raya." The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, anasor shel pishtan daka, harei kizevel. Shema mina anasor shel pishtan kai. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Anasor shel pishtan daka is like zevel." So you see that where does he mechalik between daka and gasa? By Norish al Pishtan. So you see that he's going on that last line of the Mishnah. He's not going on the line about the sawdust. Okay, new Mishnah. Tomin b'shlachin, you can be tomin with animal hides, metaltal little son, and you're allowed to be metaltal them, whether you use them for atman or not, you're allowed to be metaltal them, meaning they're not mukta. You could be tomein with shearings of wool, but you're not allowed to be metaltel the wool shearings. So what should you do? What does it mean, what should you do? Says Rashi. So we said you're allowed to be tomein with them. So let's say you insulated with them. What does insulating mean? So we already discussed yesterday. It means that you wrap the pot entirely surrounded by these items. So good. You've now completely surrounded the pot with these gizei tzemer, and we just said, but guess what? They're muktzah. So now what do you do? So again, Ketzad Uos says Rashi, Zeshatam ben, Ketzad Yitol Kedei Raso. How are you going to access your pot now? Hold the Asal Etatlan, since you're not allowed to be metaltel, the wool shearings. Shari Tumunu Kulabahen, because it's entirely insulated by these wool shearings. So says the Mishnah, no tell us Akisui Vehinofos. Just remove the cover of the pot and it will fall off on its own. Meaning, don't touch the wool shearings themselves. Take the cover off the pot, and the it will shake the shearings off. Says Rashi, "Notel kisui shel kederah sheish toras kli aleha." The kisui of the kederah has a din of a kli, so that's definitely not mukta. Aye, frekt Rashi. Wait a second. What about basas ledavra asur? Isn't the shearings a davar mukta, and therefore the pot cover, which the shearings are sitting on, shouldn't they become a bas l'davar asur and also become muktzah? So says Rashi, v'yavagav shein aleha lo ichbat lan, delo nasis bas l'hen shein asui ela l'chasos kedera, because they're only made to cover the pot. Meaning they're not what is serving what. Meaning a basl davar asr is when the base is serving the muktzah item. But over here the muktzah item is serving the pot. Meaning you have the muktzah item is there to help the pot. It's not the pot that's helping the muktzah item. And therefore it doesn't become a basis l'davar asr. Meaning there is an issue of ikar and tafel when it comes to the basl davar asr. the basis can't be the ikur. If it's the ikur, it doesn't become a basis. That's how Rashi understands. Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Kupa mata al tzido v'notel, shem yitol v'enu yochel lahachzir. If you have a box, you could lean it on its side when you want to take the kedera out, so you matter the box on its side, and you take out the kedera. Because Shema Yitol, Rashi says Shema Yitol a kedera v'yiplu agizin shemikanu mikan l'toch guma sheyashv ben. The reason you got to tilt it is because you're afraid that if you don't tilt it, the shearings are going to fall into the hole that it's sitting in. V'mitzorich lachzor latmino l'yuchel l'taltal gizin l'kanu l'kan v'lasos guma l'aksiru b'tocha. And if you're going to need to be matmin in it again, you're not going to be able to fit anything in the hole anymore, because now all the shearings have fallen down into the bottom of the hole. So in order to make it easier, you tilt it off to its side. Mechamrom notel machzin. Mecham say you could remove it and put it back. You could remove the the Gemara will explain exactly what that means. Notel machzin. So says Gemara. Yes, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinai, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, v'yas Rabbi Chanin bar Chama Gabayi v'kami bayilahu. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinai and Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar were sitting together with Rabbi Chanin ben Chama, and they will raise the following shayla. Shlachan shal balabayis tnan, aval shal uman. Kivan de kapitalayu, lomataltinulu, when we said that animal hides, you're allowed to do atmana with them, and they're not muktza, you're allowed to be metal to them. Is that only talking about animal hides that belong to a balabais? But an uman, a craftsman who's much more careful with his hides because he uses them for his business, maybe that should be muktza. He's not allowed to be metal to them. Odilma shal uman tanan, v'kolshkin shvalabais. Or maybe we're saying the hides of a craftsman are not even muktza, and therefore for sure shal balabais not muktza. You do have this concept in Ilchus Muktza that you could have something, the same item, the same kli, belongs to two different people, and for one person it's muksa, for another person it's not muksa. If one person runs a business and he's selling it, it's merchandise in a business. Let's say a person has a basement store, so they're selling the items in the store, and they would never ever take anything from their store for their own personal use. They're very makbid about it, that for their store, that it's just designated for the store. So it could be a tray, it could be a bowl, it could be anything, and that would become muksa, because once it's merchandise that you're using for selling, so then it's muksa, because you have no intention to use it as a on Shabbos, and then one would not be permitted to use it. So the same over here, you have the shlachin, the uman is very makbid, so he's makbid not to use it for anything of his own. He wants to keep it dafka for use for what he needs it for his business, so therefore there's more reason to assume it's muktza. So that's the shayla. When we say that shlachin are not muktza, do we even mean shlachin of an uman, or only shlachin of a balabayis is not muktza? So Amr Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, mistavr shal balabayis, he says most logical that we're talking about shlachan shal balabayis, but the shlachan shal uman, the uman is wants to sell them, so he's very makbid and he would never use them for anything else. He would never use them for sitting on or for any other purpose. So that's why it would remain muktza. So Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, kach Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. This is what Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi said, that Abba shalcha hava. He says that his father Abba was a someone who dealt with animal hides. He was Rashi says shalcha uman la'abid oros. He was a tanner of hides. Va'amar aviyu shlachan v'nesha v'lein. But he said, you know, even though he was a tanner of hides, that was what he did for a living. He would sometimes say, you know, bring me a hide, let me sit on it. So what do you see from there? Says Rashi, alma lo kapid. You see that he wasn't so makbid about it. So there's a raya that even an uman is not so makbid about it, and therefore it shouldn't be muktza, even if it belongs to an uman. If you look at Tosos, Abba Shalcha, Pirush Rach, Va'amar Avili Shlachin, B'Shabbos, meaning Rashi says the Raya is just that he said even on a weekday once in a while. B'chol, Rashi says, V'amar B'chol, he said Avili Shlachin. But the point is, the fact that he says that on a weekday just shows that he's not so makbid that a daf could be used only for merchandise and not for his own personal use. He would use it for his own personal use sometimes, and therefore you see that by definition it must not be Muktza. Tos says, no, the Raya is much more direct. The Raya is that not only was he a tanner, he was also a very big Talmud Chacham, and yet he used it on Shabbos. He said that I'm not worried about using it on Shabbos. So he said explicitly that it's not muktza because he was willing to use it on Shabbos. So what do you do? We have this machlokas. The first day I said that for an uman it's muktza, and then Rabbi Yossi then we have Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi saying that Rabbi Yossi was a tanner and that he held it wasn't muktza. So how do we paskin? Says Tosos, one of the rules in paskin halacha is maisa rav. If you have someone said something academic in the base medrash, he said, yeah, this would be the halacha theoretically, and then someone else said, yeah, but there's a maisa rav. This is what this gadol b'Yisrael did. So maisa rav is stronger because it shows that he was so confident in his psak that he was willing to put it into practice. It wasn't just something that was said in the walls in the dal kolse base medrash. The chayn nira says Tosos, it seems that we should pass in this way anyway. The ibuchol ma'iri ki depirush b'kuntros velo maisi raya el du uman nami lo kapit fei. He says, and it seems that my pshat is more correct than Rashi's pshat. That over here we have a maisa rav, meaning my nafka meeting between Rashi and Tosfos, it's proving the same point. According to Rashi, he asked for it on a weekday, but he shows that he's not machmir about it, and therefore it shouldn't be muksa. According to Tosfos, he asked for it on Shabbos, and therefore you see that he held it's not muksa. So nafka meeting is it a maisa rav? According to Rashi, we don't have a maisa rav where he actually used it on Shabbos, where he actually put into practice that he didn't hold it as muktzah. We just have a maisa rav that shows that he wasn't so machlin about it, but that's still a leap to go from there to then say that on Shabbos he would have used it too. That we don't know. Tosfos says, no, we do know. It's a maisa rav that we do know that he used it on Shabbos. And he says, if the whole point is to say he used it on Chol, there are better ways to prove that than the story with Rabbi Yossi. Okay, Meisvei, says the Gemara Vayit, the second line from the top. Meisvei, Nisarin Shal Balabayis, Metalto Nosan, Vishaluman ain't metaltal. Some boards that belong to a balabayis, you're allowed to be metaltal. If they belong to an uman, a carpenter, so you're not allowed to be metaltal them. V'mchishe v'lasis alein pasla orchin bein kach metaltalin. But if you designate them to put bread on them for guests, so then either way, whether they belong to a carpenter, whether they belong to a balabais, you're allowed to be metal to them. But don't you, so presumably, we're going to assume that Nisarim have the same din as the Shlachin, that if it's not going to make a difference what product we're talking about, just the issue is, they belong to a numan, they belong to a balabais, says Maranatana Raya, shiny Nisarim, the Kapitalayu. Maybe Nisarim are different, people are more makbid, because they could more easily be destroyed. So that's why an uman is never going to use his Nisarim, and that's why they're muktza. But when it comes to shlachin, maybe they're not as easily destroyed, and therefore the uman is more likely to use them for his own personal use and not just for the business. So Tashma the Gemara tries to bring another raya. Oros bein avudin bein shein avudin mutul tatlum b'shabbos. If you have hides, whether they are tanned or whether they're not tanned, you're allowed to be metalta those hides on Shabbos. Lomer avudin elinyan tuma bilvad. The only reason we say oros avudin, and the only tchilik we have by avudin that to be mechalik between avudin and avudin is in regards to tuma. That's something that is already tanned is mekabel tuma. If it's not avud, it's not yet mekabel tuma. So my lav lo shnoshal balabayis lo shnoshal uman, doesn't that imply that it doesn't matter who owns it, doesn't matter if it belongs to the balabai, it doesn't matter if it belongs to an uman, it's not muktza. So even shal uman is not muktza. Says Gemara, no, that's not a good raya. Lo shal balabai, it's not, means if it belongs to a balabai, it's not muktza. Aval shal uman mai, but if it belongs to an uman, what would the din be? Ein metaltal, and it would be muktza. You're not allowed to be metaltal it. Ihachi, if that's the case, but if that's the case, that by an uman it would be muktza, so instead of making a chilik and saying that the only chilik between whether it's tanned or not tanned is in regard to tuma, why don't we make the chilik within the halacha that we're talking about already and say no, that when do we say that it's not going to be muktza? That's only if it belongs to the balabayis, but bishal uman, then it's going to be muktza. So why don't we make that chiluk? And so Gemara kula balabayis kamayri. Not because the whole thing was talking about a balabayis. So why would we bring in an outside case where all of a sudden we introduce an uman into the case? So says Gemara, okay, so we tried to prove twice already who's correct in this machlokas, whether the hides that belong to an uman are muktza or not muktza. Neither raya stuck, right? Both rayas seem to have failed. So says Gemara, kitanai, it's in fact a machlokas tanayim. Oris shel ba'al habayis metalfin l'asan, v'shel uman ein metalfin l'asan. Rabbi Yossi omer, echad zeh v'echad zeh metalfin l'asan. That oris shel ba'al habayis, you are metaltel, shel uman, you're not metaltel. Rabbi Yossi says, both shel ba'al habayis and shel uman, you can be metaltel. This is what Tosfos was referring to before. Tosfos says, wait a second, if you want to bring a raya that Rabbi Yossi holds, that he holds at least in the Beis Medrash, that he paskin, that it's not muksa, that the oros shel uman are not muksa, so why would you bring a raya from the fact that he said that he once said on a weekday, bring me the hides and I'll sit on them? No, we have a beferish psak from him that he said that shel uman is not muksa. So why would Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi say, oh no, but Abba shalcha Abba, and he said bring the hides. Who cares? He said bring the hides on a Tuesday. Say better that Abba was a Talmud Chacham and he said that they're not muksa. You have beferish that he said they're not muksa. So that's what Tosfos says. That's why that story must have been about Shabbos, because it must have been adding some teeth to it. How does it add teeth to Rabbi Yossi's psak? That it was a Maisa Rav. It wasn't just that he paskin that it's not muksa. He actually did it. He actually used the hides on Shabbos. So that's a Tosfos Raya that Rashi must not be correct. That the story could not have been on a weekday. Okay, Hadu Yasiv Kam Bailu. Once we talk about this group of Rabbanim that happened to have been sitting around and talking and learning, Rabbi Yonatan ben Achinai and Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar and Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, so we mentioned another topic that these three happened to have discussed when they were sitting around. So they were sitting and talking and learning, and they raised the following question. When we say that there are 39 malachas of Shabbos, what does that correspond to? What does the number 39 correspond to? So Tosfos points out in two consecutive Tosfos over here, actually, that what do you mean, what does it correspond to? We learned that the malachas of Shabbos, we learned that from the Mishkan, so we probably just counted up the different things that were done in the Mishkan, and it came to 39. Who says it has to correspond to anything? So Tosfos says, no. Some of the categories are illogical. Like, why is Borer and Merake two separate malachas? They're so similar. Why can't you just call them the same malacha? Meaning, why do we call it? Clearly, there was a conscious effort to make 39 categories, because otherwise, you could have had the same 39 activities, and they would not have been divided into 39 categories. So there's got to be something about the number 39 that we're trying to emphasize over here. So what do they correspond to? Two opinions in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, keneged avodas haMishkan. They correspond to the avodas of the Mishkan. Amar Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar, kach Amar Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya, keneged malacha malachto malacha shebetorah arbam chasrachas. No, it corresponds to all the different times it says malacha malachas malachto in the Torah. There are 39 times it says in the Torah those words malacha malachas malachto. If you actually count up the amount of time it says in the Torah, it's almost double that. It's over 60, I think. So they're obviously not counting some of them for whatever reason. The Gemara is going to raise a question about one of them, but there are obviously many that we're not counting for whatever reason. So, by Rav Yosef, v'yavo abayis alasos malachto. So when the Torah says, by the story of Yosef, that it was by Yom HaZeh, v'yavo abayis alasos malachto, v'ein ish me'an she'abayis sham babayis, and the whole story with Eishes Potiphar. So it's lasos malachto. Miminyanu hu alo. Is that one of the 39 that we count? Because the Gemara obviously knew right off the bat. We're not counting every time it says. Some of them do count, some of them don't count. So does this one count? So he said, well, bring a Sefer Torah, let's count, and let's see. If there are 39 others, then this one doesn't count. If there aren't 39 others, this one does count. So we learned that they didn't move from there until they were able to check it out. So Amalei, he says, no, I'm a supuk, because the pasuk says that they had enough for everything that they needed for all the nedavos. So miminyanahu. So that was is that miminyana? V'hakamad yam lasos strachav nichnas. Maybe therefore the one about Yosef is like the sheet that says that he went lasos strachav, meaning that he went in there to sleep with Eishes Potiphar, Odilmava, until he saw his father's image, etc., that discouraged him from doing so. Odilma v'yavo b'yisalasos malachto miminyanahu. Or no, maybe v'yavo b'yisalasos malachto, that actually counts as malacha. That's actually talking about real malacha. It's not lasos trachav. That was talking about real malacha, and therefore should count. And v'amalacha yisadayim just means that they finished everything that they needed, but not that it's actually referring to malacha. So take with the Gemara Gemara leaves this unresolved, which one counts and which one doesn't count as one of the 39. Tosfos Maseches Pesachim adds another remez to the 39, where 39 comes from. He says that when it says in Mitzrayim, we did Avodas Perech, so Perech Ba'at Bash, when you do the At Bash Gematria, Perech is a Gematria of Vigal. It turns out the Adbash is Vigal, and Vigal is Gematria Lamites. So the Lamites Malachos are patterned after some way Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why in Shabbos, when we say Kiddush, we say Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. We mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush. What does Kiddush have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? Shabbos is Zechel Maisa Bereshit. It's not really a Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. But it could be that the Halachos of Shabbos, in one way or another, are somehow patterned after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tanya Kamandi Amar Avodas HaMishkan. We have a brisa that seems to assume that the 39 melachos correspond to the Avodas HaMishkan. To Tanya, Ein chayav ne'ela al melacha shekiyotze b'ha'isa b'mishkan. We're only chayav on a melacha that such an activity was done in the Mishkan. Heim zaru v'atem lo tizru. They did zriya, so we can't be zareya. Heim katzru, they harvested v'atem lo tiksru, so we can't harvest. Heim helu asakrash mikarka la'gala, they lifted up the boards from the ground to the wagons. V'atem lo tachnisim rishas ram rishas yachid. So we're not allowed to be machnas from rishas ram to rishas yachid. Heim ho ridu asakrash mi'agala l'karka, they brought the boards down from the wagons to the ground. V'atem lo tziu mirishas yachid rishas ram. So we're not allowed to be motzi from rishas yachid to rishas ram. Heim ho tziu mi'agala l'agala, they brought from one wagon to another. V'atem lo tziu mirishas yachid rishas yachid. We're not allowed to take anything from one rishas yachid to another rishas yachid. Frankly, Gemara, what? That last one doesn't make sense. Rishas yachid rishas yachid my kavod. That's not a melacha of Shabbos to carry from one Rosh Hashiachid to another Rosh Hashiachid. Sabai v'rav, dar mitavai, v'item rav adabarava, mi Rosh Hashiachid l'Rosh Hashiachid, derech Rosh Hasharabim. You're not allowed to carry from one Rosh Hashiachid to another Rosh Hashiachid when it passes through Rosh Hasharabim. And that's how it worked with the agalos on two sides of Rosh Hasharabim to pass from one to the other. Now you'll note when Rashi says, heim zaru v'katsu, Rashi gives examples. When did they do zriya, ktsiru, all these different things? Samanim l'tzva t'chelos v'oros elim v'tachnu v'loshunam. So Rashi says that all of these things were in the making of the Mishkan. He doesn't give examples. One could have said, what do you mean? Zareya, Kotzer, all these things is in preparing the Lechem upon him each and every week. No, so Rashi apparently understands, and this is Rashi Lishtaso, that the Malachas of Shabbos are patterned after the Malachas that were done in the erecting of the Mishkan, the putting together of the Mishkan, not the Malachas that were done in the running of the Mishkan on a day-to-day basis. Okay, we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.